continuing with Vision Destiny 2020, reviewing some of the things that God shared with me, my journals in 2019, some of my experiences, and what does that mean for 2020, looking at the way ahead. You know, what has God said? You know, what does God want us to do? Where does God want us to go? Now, some of the major themes during 2019 were the restoration of all things, the oracles of the Father's heart, love's light shining through us, happy eschatology, looking forward to an increase in the government of God and peace, the Joshua generation coming into sonship, and rest, everything coming from a place of rest. So God spoke to me a lot of things, and I'm just going to share with you some of those things. So in the restoration of all things, within the context of relationship with me, is the outworking of my love. How could I be a loving God and not be motivated by love towards the whole of creation, to restore it, firstly, its original state, and then to see it fulfill my original intention within the context of true sonship? Now, restoration is just the beginning. Obviously, God had an intention for the increase of his government and peace that would, through our sonship, have materialized through the relationship between heaven and earth. Now God needs to restore things to his original purpose, but then to see that go beyond. So the first and the last will be restored. The sons of God will be restored, both first and second, through the last Son of God, who gave himself as the offering before creation to ensure the eventual restoration of creation. The blood representing my life and love has always been the testimony of I am on the foundation stone of creation to ensure restoration. Son, only that which was not my intention cannot be restored, and that is the DIY tree path, the do-it-yourself tree path, as the fig tree has been destroyed from the roots up, symbolic that we cannot do things in our own strength. After all the shaking, only that which is of my kingdom will remain as the platform to ascension of man within creation's restoration. The ascension of sonship will reveal and facilitate the full scope of restoration and ongoing expansion within the ages to come. So there's a lot more to come. There's a lot more unveiling of revelation of who God is, the infinite God. But as we're restored and see creation restored, that is just the beginning. Son, restoration is but the beginning, not the end. There is so much more that is possible for my ascended, mature sons who are occupying their places by being seated in the heavenly realms. Son, once the Restoration of All Things conference has created a platform for restoration, you can focus on going beyond this dimension to engage other dimensions. You know, and I've shared some of my experiences with those other dimensions. Son, I will also begin to give you insight into the sentience of creation and how to engage it through what are present being presented as elementals. Now, this is a topic which is beginning to get people's attention, that creation is longing, groaning under its corruption. How do we connect with creation? Is it sentient? Does it have some sort of sentient ability, and what does within it? And is all of it sentient? Is some of it sentient? How was Adam supposed to bring his government and rule the whole of creation if there weren't ways of connecting to creation itself? And how does creation respond to a revealing of sonship? These are all questions that people are beginning to ask, and people have had experiences where they've begun to engage with elementals that seem to be created beings, not spirits as such, created to cooperate with us in sonship. And if we do not operate in sonship, they are influenced by other things. So they're neutral, waiting for influence. And that influence has often been negative because we as believers have rejected our position of authority towards creation. The truth is that nothing has been created or made separated from me, as I am within all things and all things are within me. That truth means that all things have life and within them, life within them, as I am alive, and therefore all creation is alive. This has been accepted metaphorically, but there is a reality behind the metaphor of the stones crying out or creation singing and the trees clapping their hands. This truth is coming to light because sonship is being unveiled. And I believe as we are beginning to resonate with the frequency of heaven, we're coming, bringing heaven and earth back into agreement, increasing the frequency of our sonship. All of the dimensions are beginning to respond to that, including elementals. Creation does long and is groaning in reality, not just metaphorically, and is waiting, looking for sonship to be displayed so it can respond to the influence of love. Arise, shine with love's light, and you will see how creation responds to the frequency and the energy of the true essence of love. Son, embrace your destiny and be bold and courageous and do not hold back from the inevitable course you must take to help bring the Joshua generation into mature sonship. As an ambassador of the Joshua generation, be more strategic and make representation to the courts of heaven for justice to release grace. Now, sometimes, even though you're in a position, you can be passive in that position. And, you know, I've been called to be a legislator, therefore I need to take action. And sometimes that needs to be directed. And, you know, this was just God basically encouraging me to make sure that I use the positions of authority that I've been given effectively to bring change and transformation. Son, there are so many more of my children getting ready to cross over into their inheritance and be empowered. Invest in the ambassadors group to facilitate the increase in the intensity of the call into the wilderness. Now, last year, last year, God spoke to me about engaging ambassadors groups or establishing ambassadors groups who would take responsibility for particular people groups or areas or nations to call people to come into the light, to cross over into the promised land, figuratively, out of the wilderness. Now, I did that, you know, and I've done it, and they're now released to continue to function independently of me, because I don't need any longer to be involved in that, so that we have people who see themselves as ambassadors. We have the law of ambassadorship that gives the mandates for ambassadors, because we need to reach people. We need to reach people, those people who are covered with the veils of religious darkness in the wilderness. Son, the authority of the Moses generation is being removed. Many of those resisting the call to leave the wilderness will fall away. There is great resistance from the same spirit that motivated the Babel event. Tower of Babel, making a name for themselves, building something so they wouldn't lose their identity. So many of the Moses order, top-down hierarchical structures are getting their identity from what they're doing. Therefore, they won't let go of that reputation to embrace something new because they're stuck in the old, because that is where their identity has come from, rather than coming directly from God himself. There must not be a vacuum of authority that the enemy will use, so the Joshua generation must be invested and enthroned in the heavenly realms and be equipped to rule as mature sons. So if the government is removed from Moses and the Moses generation figuratively, then it was passed to the Joshua generation. Joshua took Moses' mantle. And Moses was still alive when he did it. So there was a transfer. If we're going to see the old Moses orders authority be removed, then we must make sure that we establish authority by being seated in heavenly places on our thrones, on our mountains, as a Joshua generation. Otherwise, there will be a vacuum. And we cannot have a vacuum because it will get filled and the enemy will take advantage of the lack of government. Even if the old government was not functioning as a reflection of heaven, it was still functioning. If it's going to be removed, we must see an increase in the government of the Joshua generation. We must take that mandate and the passing of that mandate seriously. Son, that is your primary task, to equip governmentally. Don't let what is happening on the ground with freedom cause you to hold back. Now, we've re-established our government here and looking to renew our government, knowing what we know now. We're looking to do it from a fresh perspective. And, you know, the temptation could be, oh, it's not working fully on the ground here, so how can you teach it? Well, in a sense, you know, we're in a process like everyone else is in transition. And therefore, if we continue that process, we will be able to work through that process and come into a fuller understanding of how we establish government, how we use mountains and thrones and the courtrooms and everything else in practice, both in individual lives, but also corporately to establish what we're doing. Now, I'm doing this governmentally here, but I want others to be involved. The benches and the mountains are still valid. It is the people who fail to establish the lifestyles and intimacy in relationship with me and each other to outwork it. You see, you can have things in principle, but they've got to be outworked in practice. And that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where you have to work it through relationally. That means transformation, change. That also means working out relationships with each other. Encourage the people around the world to embrace the relationship that will enable true governmental authority to be exercised. Relationship always comes first. Sons, focus on the future. The past is the past, but it must not be allowed to taint or cloud the future. Don't allow things that haven't worked out to stop you continuing the process and the journey. God uses those things and brings good out of them. Love wins in the end, so show love and discipline by correction where necessary for blessing, not cursing. There's nothing wrong in speaking the truth in love and helping and correcting people, but it must be for their blessing and not for ourselves. I flew over heaven one time and the Holy Spirit took me flying over heaven. And this was a very weird experience because it was flying over the things that I was familiar with in the realms of heaven in terms of the geography of heaven. But beneath that, I could see how all of the things I was seeing operated dimensionally and not just, in a sense, spiritually, physically, if you know what I mean. So yes, there are things in the realms of heaven like mountains and thrones and rivers and waterfalls and those things, but they have a deeper meaning than just what you see on the surface. So I was seeing the surface, but all of a sudden I was seeing what levels that were beneath the surface, if you like. And it was quite a weird thing. This gave me a perspective of the geographical and dimensional perspectives of heaven. There is nothing inanimate. Everything has consciousness. There are living walls, living gates, the meeting and the merging of thrones, mountains, gardens, waterfalls, a true multiverse, living, dynamic environment. See, we often relate to heaven because we can see things that are relatable on earth, like mountains and gates and walls and gardens and those things. But that's just the surface perspective. There's deeper perspectives to that. The pyramid of thrones with the centerpiece of the mercy seat, which is the foundation stone of creation, holding all relationship and responsibility in perfect balance. Now, I have seen the throne of grace. I've seen the throne room. I've seen the throne by the river of fire in the Ancient of Days and the firestones. You know, I've seen the throne in the temple, you know, and the tabernacle itself is in the center of that. And I didn't see that from a governmental perspective because they're not necessarily looking like that. But from governmentally, in the centerpiece of all the thrones is the mercy seat. That is what, in a sense, gives the government of all these things validity because it has within it the yod hey vav hey access into the heart of God in eternity. And that is where eternity comes into the rule, which is in the realms of heaven, to bring the now, that eternal now perspective, into the is, to be outworked into what will be. Now, I had not seen that before. There are a number of interconnected thrones that have different functions. The throne of grace, perfectly in harmony with the throne room. This throne in the temple is in perfect harmony with the throne of the Ancient of Days. We have thrones in different dimensions and dimensional heavenly realms. We are also positioned in light dimensionally within the Tree of Life geometrically. So, all of these things, we have a throne on a mountain. We have a throne next to the Ancient of Days. So we have different thrones that represent different aspects of government and authority, and they're all connected. And they're all connected within the whole, which I would describe as the Tree of Life. The mobile throne of justice fully represents the four faces of the mercy seat throughout all dimensions of creation. What is on the mercy seat enables the whole of the heavenly realms and the whole of creation to function from the heart of God. Each courtroom is in perfect balance and harmony throughout the heavenly realms in righteousness and justice. Now, remember, righteousness and justice are two sides of the same coin. God isn't righteous and operating in love, and on the other side, just and operate out of love. Justice is a perfect expression of love, and it's a result of a judgment, and God's judgment, based on what was done before the foundation of the world, is a judgment to bring life and not death. Therefore, justice is actually mercy, an outworking of the mercy of God, his love demonstrated towards all those who have done nothing to deserve it, and yet because he is love, he releases it lavishly with wonderful expression. The circle of the deep, the 12 high chancellor's houses, the ambassador's houses, in perfect balance and harmony, centered around the mercy seat at the center of Metatron's cube, sacred geometric balance and harmony. Now, you've got sacred geometry, you've got Metatron's cube as a diagrammatic expression of dimensional interaction, which is what I was seeing when I was looking from above into how what I see on the surface actually represents within dimensional reality. Where judgment and justice are in perfect balance and in harmony with grace and mercy, expressing love's essence and intrinsic glory and the oracles of the Father's heart. Now, it's so important that we see these seasons work together. They're not seasons which are independent of one another. The seasons of heaven that function on judgment, justice, grace, mercy are in complete harmony and balance. And one brings the expression of the other, which brings the expression of the other, which brings the expression of the other, and the end and the beginning meet in mercy and judgment. See, mercy triumphs over judgment. Not that judgment is wrong, but mercy is the expression, which is God's expression of judgment, and mercy and judgment are expressions of love. Now, we, from an earthly perspective, have created a judgment system and a justice system which has very little to do with mercy. We've developed it out of our own humanistic, what we think is right. When someone is judged and found guilty, we automatically want them sentenced to death, if you like. But God, when he sees a judgment made, he always wants to bring life. Therefore, when we do terrible atrocities, and which from an earthly perspective of justice deserve punishment, God does not punish. God wants to restore, reconcile, renew, make whole. His whole concept is very different from ours, but we've built our governmental and judicial system thinking that we've built it on the Christian Judeo ethic, but actually we've built it on a wrong biblical understanding, which is a wrong understanding of who God is. Therefore, we have a justice system which is very different from God's. And we then think God's justice system is like ours, and ours is not like his. Therefore, we've got this imbalance, and it's very difficult for people to accept what justice really is. Out of a judgment to bring life, therefore mercy is, in essence, justice outworked. The seasons of heaven aligned with the circle of the deep. We need to see that these four seasons are aligned with 12 houses, and they function in four wheels within wheels within wheels. So we have priest, king, prophet, oracle, apostle, legislator, scribe, fully in harmony, in alignment with passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, overwhelming love. So you have, in a perspective, sort of ministry or gifts that we've been given, or roles or positions of authority that are in total alignment with the heart of God. If they're not, then you're going to have an outworking of DIY even operating in heaven. And that is not ever going to be something that God desires. So we've got to know the heart of God, the love of God, his oracles, to enable us to function as a priest and a king and an oracle and a legislator and a scribe to establish heaven into the earth through ministry from heaven to the earth. The royal priesthood aligning heaven with the oracles and legislators on the earth. Each of the thrones and courts having multidimensional and multifaceted levels and layers of form and function simultaneously in balance and in harmony. It's a beautiful, harmonious thing. Mathematics, I mean, those who are into mathematics find beauty in it. And I saw beauty, not just seeing the amazing beauty of waterfalls and everything else, but I actually saw a depth of beauty which went into the form and how dimensionally everything works together. A garden and a throne in perfect harmony and synchronization. A waterfall and a courtroom in perfect harmony and synchronization with a throne and a river. Oneness and unity, but diversely manifold. Three in one, one in three. One in four, four in one. One in seven, seven in one. One in nine, nine in one. One in 12, 12 in one. All of these things, and these are all representations of numeric perceptions and numeric perspectives, that we have a government of three, bench of three, but they're in one. One God, but three. And the one God works in three. You have four as a window, one in four. So you have the one of God in the four, but then the four outworking through the one. All of these things are beautiful when you begin to see them as God intends them to function in this sacred geometric perspective of this dimensional reality. Son, trust me and put your trust in me, and I am will be to you all that you could possibly ask or think. I am beyond your highest thoughts and deepest experiences. I am love. I love you and want the very best for you. See, I am is love, but I am does love. And he wants us to experience it, not just have a theoretical perspective of it. I am loves you. And I want you to hear these words directly now from God. I am loves you. I love you. I am loves you. I am is love. And I want the very best for you. Always hold that wherever you're going through. Always know that God's love and God himself as love wants to bring good out of every situation that you're in or going through. And he's not separated from you. He's with you in it. Walk with him through the trials, the tribulations, the troubles that often come about so that we can benefit from the process of learning that he'll take us through if we allow him. This is another expression of the oracles of my heart. I am is always more than any absolutes you try to set and beyond your ability to presently comprehend. See, we always want absolutes. We always want to have boundaries that confine us. I know people talk about, I want freedom, but actually, in reality, mankind is always looking for rules. And people do rebel against those rules, but then they'll find their own rules. You see, that's the way the DIY system works. God wants us to have true freedom in relationship to know him, not absolute rules, which is laws that we have to follow by externals, but internal guidance through relationship. Son, as you ascend, you will have a greater capacity to know as you are known, to go beyond into the maturity of sonship. I am expanding your consciousness to beyond what you can possibly know, and there can be no end to that expansion as you are destined to become conformed to the image that you are made in. We're made in his image and likeness. We need to become like him. All my children are created in our image and likeness. Mankind was made in our image and likeness to be. So do not be limited and restricted by fear-based religious constructs or by faithless scientific philosophies. We need to come into a relational being to really know our connection to the whole of creation and to be. When we can be, creation will respond. Trust me, and we will journey beyond your beyond in both relationship and responsibility. Now, I have had many experiences of this going beyond and going beyond and going beyond. So I'm, in a sense, always looking for what is coming next. And this excites me. Some people don't like change. I love process and change. Son, time and the eternal now are converging in those of my children who are beginning to see the truth and are willing to pursue it no matter where it takes them. Now, this takes courage to go wherever it goes. This will mean cognitive dissonant experiences, where our experiences will challenge what we believe. Allow those challenges to change what you believe to align with what he is giving you as an experience. Don't let a theory restrict the revelation of the experience. The truth is out there beyond the boundaries of your present, in the depths of who you are made to be. See, deep within us, our spirit was birthed out of God, if you like, has come out of God, and therefore has within it the essence of God. Therefore, our destiny is to be like him, therefore to represent him as God's little g. Son, rest is trust in me and in my reality that has no limitations and restrictions other than pure love. This is the plumb line. This is the boundary, love. Son, focus on the restoration of sonship through the deconstruction and expansion of consciousness in both relationship and responsibility. There's so much more for us to come into, but we need the old constructs removed. Restoration of I am as love through the deconstruction of the wrong image of the angry God, distant deity of religion is vital. We cannot bring restoration if we see God as the angry God who is going to destroy everything. Restoration of all things can only be framed in my love relationship with creation through my love for all my children. God wants us to express his love as love to creation itself. Restoration of all things must be framed by the oracles of my heart, which is limitless grace and abundant overflowing mercy. Grace and mercy are just expressions of my precepts, the pure essence of love. That is who I am. Resurrecting, restoring, reconciling, redeeming, renewing, refreshing love. That is bringing creation back to my original intention with the perichoresis of I am, circle of the dance, so you can be all in all and all in all that I am intended. So God is at work in all of these reings to bring things back to his original intention so things can move forward from that perspective. And he's included us in it, which is awesome. Son, I am your father. Rest in me, and your sonship will be revealed one degree of glory after another until you become an ascended father in your own right. Now, all of us are to ascend into sonship, maturity, and eventually to be ascended fathers. Now, I have no idea really what that really means, but I really have seen it numerous times, and God has spoken to me about it. So I know that what we will be is way beyond what we could ever possibly imagine or think. Son, keep close to my heart and let my thoughts become your thoughts, so my oracles will be your motivation and your guide. Remember, passion. Passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, overwhelming love. Son, feel the heartbeat of heaven and resonate with its rhythm and follow the seasons of judgment, justice, grace and mercy and align the circle of the deep. The old order have repeated the patterns of the past and are being removed. Do not let the same mistakes be made again. And we've got to be so careful that we do not follow the patterns of the past and therefore become rigid and fossilized and create another denomination rather than a continual relational journey progressing and coming into peace, because that's God's desire, that we never stop moving forward into him, knowing him and knowing who we are within him. Herald the dawning of a new season and embrace the freedom that's coming and issue the warning that justice is being delivered to free the Joshua generation from the wilderness. Now, this is not a warning that people need to fear. This is a warning that people need to embrace. Those who have crossed over but are still operating in the mediatorial Moses systems will lose their positions of influence, as I will expose the hypocrisy by the light of truth. See, there are those who are using new terminology, but they're still operating in an old system. They're still top down. They're still functioning in that, even though they don't know that. but that's still the system. And if you're under them, if you're under them, you've put them, yourself under an old system, even though new terminology and new revelation, an amazing revelation can be used, be very careful that the system is not a mediatorial system. There isn't a central control. There isn't a system that covers over people. Make sure you don't put yourself under that. Mountains will crumble and fall into the sea. The valleys will be lifted up. The rough places made smooth and the crooked places made straight. There's going to be change taking place. Son, do everything in honor with honesty and integrity. Son, be careful and ensure you do everything righteously in love. When you challenge those that have gone before and forerunners, it is obviously a difficult thing and it must be done rightly and with the right motive. Not to take their place, usurp their authority, or do anything negative, but to bless them and to see that they will come into the true knowledge of the revelation. I'm sure there are things that I believe right now, things that I do right now that God is going to challenge me over, and therefore I'm going to have to change and be renewed and transformed by the renewing of my mind so that I don't function according to those things in the future. So I'm aware that we're all on a journey and I want people to continue that journey, not get stuck in the and become rigid and fossilized by forming theology and doctrines which exclude people on the basis of belief rather than all of us included on the basis of relationship. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the spirit, living in the state of rest. The kingdom and rest are in fact synonymous terms, as you can't rule without the rest of relationship. Resting in me is trusting in me for provision, protection, and direction, and doing nothing from the do-it-yourself tree path of independence. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am all in all your sufficiency. Trust me and rest. Mobilize the cloud of witnesses and the angelic legions and begin interacting and assigning missions and tasks. So God has given us a lot of governmental help to help us in what we're called to do. Don't try and do things on your own when there are legions of angels and others at your disposal to engage with. Engage the angelic canopy. Learn to function with the living beings at a new level. I am desires that you take your place within my councils and become more active within my kingdom government. And this is for all of us. This is not just for me. Son, you have embraced your role within the Joshua generation, but there is so much more that needs legislation. As your thinking has been renewed and the old covenant influence is replaced by new covenant grace, you are now able to legislate more effectively. Eschatology affects everything, not just expectations of the future, but how you see the past and how you see me. Now, here is one of the four streams that are coming together. What we believe about the future is a reflection of what we believe about God. So if we believe the future is going to be destruction, we believe God is the God who is a destroyer. The idioms of the Old Covenant writers misrepresent me, twisting my character and my nature and perpetuating fear-based religion. I am always, has always been love and always will be love because love is the continual now that all creation lives and exists within. Son, demonstrate that worship does not always need singing by using crystal bowls to call for the atmosphere of heaven to manifest through the torn veil. And this can happen when we gather, and I use crystal bowls in my conferences. I use crystal bowls when we gathered here at times to begin to show that actually it isn't about what we've made worship to be, which is sort of a performance-based worship band Western view, but actually it's about engaging with heaven in a way of surrender. And actually you can use atmospheres, you can use intentions, you can use calls through the sound. Now some people struggle with that, you know, and last year when I started to use some of these crystal bowls, you know, I got accused of being Hindu and using Hindu things, whatever else. And if I'd used a guitar or a flute or if I'd used any other instrument, there wouldn't have been a problem, but I was using a crystal bowl. It produces a sound. It produces a resonant frequency. that carries my intent. No different than someone playing a guitar imparts their creativity in what they're playing so we can be affected by what they're playing. So crystal bowls are a methodology of releasing sound frequency that carries intent. It has a carrier wave to release intent, which is not bounded by the mind. This is why it can get beyond. This is why music in itself has the capacity to touch our emotions, not just our thinking. And so does sound and frequency. So there are sounds which you can carry an intent with, which you can be released. So don't be limited. You know, this is what God was trying to show me. And so, you know, I've got these crystal bowls. I use them. Now, in some senses, they're like bells, but they can also be used to generate quite a challenging sound. That sound can penetrate. That sound can go in and through and around and go beyond the conscious mind into touching the heart and through the spirit engaging something that's deeper within. Son, legislate for love, joy, and peace to fill the environment with honor and respect. So when we did the Restoration of All Things conference, and this is what this was talking about primarily, we used the crystal bowls and people came and practiced with them, but we also used them in some of the activations, because when playing love, joy, peace, that frequency through the bowls and the intent was to fill the atmosphere with honor and respect. Because if we're going to come together to talk about controversial issues, we must have an atmosphere of honor and respect each other, even though we might not necessarily understand everything about each other or understand all of the beliefs that we have, but let's honor and respect each other and create a safe environment where we can talk about things without the need to prove someone wrong because I'm proving myself right. And that's the environment we wanted to create. And I believe we did. Then legislate for open hearts and open minds for encounters of deconstruction and cognitive dissonance to remove minds and expand consciousness. When you go into an environment where there is an atmosphere of honor and respect, there's an atmosphere that allows challenge to take place in a loving way rather than in an unloving, challenging way. See, you can be challenged by love, or you can be challenged by anger and aggression. It's like God wants us to be challenged by love, because love will change and transform us if we allow it. Son, I am will come, and my presence will pull back the veils that are covering the minds of my children to reveal fresh, new truth. Son, restoration begins with this age, but within the ages to come, there is a deep calling to deep. In other words, there is more. Son, ensure that there are no limitations, restrictions, or obstacles to my restoring truth and challenging the status quo of orthodoxy. See, what we think as orthodox position is very different from what the early church thought as the orthodox position, and very different from what the orthodox church believes as the orthodox position, and so on and so on. We need to make sure we're not restricted or limited by a theological streams that we've been associated with, but we're free to be unveiled new truth that will challenge some of those perspectives. Son, call the angelic canopy to hover over the atmosphere where the seraphim can be a consuming fire of truth. See, we need truth, and sometimes that's like a consuming fire which burns up the lies. Call for the cloud of witnesses to bring truth, the truth of their being and earthly experiences, because they have things to offer us and to help because they've been here. Call for the glory of heaven to manifest the truth so it resonates throughout the earth. Call for the atmosphere around the world to be charged with the frequency of truth to break through the religious veils and restrictions of the darkness of deception about the true nature, character, and essence of I am as love. And this is a huge issue. As soon as you start talking about God as love and God is love, you will get the challenge, well, yeah, but he's also justice. and God also operates justice, as if there's a difference between that, and they're not able to be compatible with one another. They're fully compatible with one another. God is not two. He's not dualistic. He's not a dichotomy. He's not an old covenant God, a new covenant God. He's just God. He's Father, Son, and Spirit, who've always been in relationship. As soon as you start to go deeper into relationship and realize the depth of that love, it challenges our views of what God is like, and that will challenge people. So, and always you talk about, well, God loves people too much to let them remain forever separated from himself. People will challenge, well, yeah, but he's a God of justice, and if people choose, they can be separated from him. Yes, that's true. We can be separated from God if we choose to. But God will never give up helping us to change our perspective and choose love rather than separation. So be careful when you start to hear people challenge love and bring the flip side of the coin. Remember justice. I believe a lot of them are coming from an old covenant view of the angry God through the DIY version of justice rather than heaven's justice, which is mercy. Son, legislate for the destruction of false belief systems and the unveiling of love's light to enable my children to arise and shine with the freedom of their glory. Son, call for the truth of this generation to come forth loud and clear so my sons can take their places in heaven and on earth. Son, focus on the restoration of sonship by sharing your encounters with me that expanded your consciousness of love. Now, I had numerous experiences where I walked with the Father and the Father unveiled so much that I couldn't understand, but it began to change my reality as I realized just how loving he is, just how he's at work with all people, just how he's at work in all people. And that totally changed this view of separation from God. The deconstruction and rewiring of the mind is key to my children having the abilities of their sonship restored. There are abilities in sonship, in our consciousness, that need our thinking to be changed for us to embrace them. Sonship is the key to restoration. As my children's identity, positions, authority, and power is restored, creation will respond to their freedom. The freedom of the glory of sonship must be restored for creation to be restored to my original intention and purpose. The restoration of all things begins with the restoration of my children through reconciliation to a love relationship. The journey continues with the renewal of the mind and the expansion of consciousness to their place of ascension as mature sons. Son, the modern day parables of Hollywood can be used to open the minds of my children to their potential possibilities that are available. Now, again, I love movies, particularly science fiction movies, and God speaks to me through them all the time. And he just named a few. The Matrix, which is one of my all-time favorites, Lucy, Doctor Strange, are all about expansion of the mind from a position of knowing the truth. And I actually really love Doctor Strange in that he came as a very rational surgeon in a very do-it-yourself manner. He very much was self-independent. And then through an accident and having lost his ability to operate, then sought a because that was his identity, then needed a new identity. And he was drawn to engage in the consciousness that had abilities that would take him beyond. Now, all of us need have experiences that take us beyond the limitations that we see through the DIY path and realize there is so much more to come if our minds are deconstructed and our consciousness begins to be expanded so we can start to choose and create realities. These films can encourage you to believe there is more. And there are lots of other films out there as well. The restoration of the power of the mind to choose and create reality as sons must be aligned with a restored cardiogenosis of heart-to-heart, mind-to-mind, face-to-face relationship with me as Father. We cannot then use these abilities which are going to be restored for our own ends or our own purposes. They must be for the to an outworking the oracles of the Father's heart and for restoration. Love encounters are the only thing powerful enough to restore both relationship and facilitate the deconstruction and renewal of the mind to expand the consciousness to enable the responsibility of sonship to be correctly motivated. Encountering the oracles of the Father's heart will create the desire for true restoration in relationship and responsibility. Passion of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation. Now, you cannot separate children from creation, sons from creation. Burning desire of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation. Now, God reminded me of this numerous times during the year. I had the initial encounter with wisdom who unveiled the oracles of the Father's heart. I then had an encounter with the Father who took me deeper into it. I then went into the cloud of witnesses to experience how they felt when they experienced Jesus and experienced his passion and burning desire as a representation of the Father. And so the Father was reminding me. Burning desire of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation. And he was emphasizing it, all his children and all creation. Not some of his children and some of creation, all his children and all creation. The intense joy of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation. Deep compassion of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation. Overwhelming love of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation. Now I'm emphasizing it because he emphasized it to me and he wanted me to receive that perception, that perspective, that revelation, all. Not some, no limited atonement, all. God's love is for all. Now people would say, well, yeah, God loves everyone because he's love, but, there's always a but. And that but will be a misrepresentation of the nature and character of God. Because God loves his children, but that doesn't mean that they'll know him, because that's by faith through salvation. And they separate him from his children because only those who pray a prayer can receive his love. Now, God loves all his children irrespective of whether we love him back, because God's love is unconditional. Unconditional love is expressed in unconditional salvation. Now, that does not mean all people know that they're unconditionally saved and they're living in the reality of unconditional salvation. Jesus saved everyone. He came to save the world and to deal with the sin of the world. He did that on the cross. He dealt with once for all time, one sacrifice, never needing another sacrifice, once for all. All were dead in Adam, and all are made alive in Christ. So all now are in Christ, and all now are alive, and now all can experience that love. But so many are veiled by religion and kept from that love because that deception of the darkness that has been through religion that's kept people from works-based mentality, law-based mentality rather than grace-based mentality. The evangelical movement believes by salvation, by faith, through grace, and yet they operate under the law primarily. Son, I am that I am, and I will unveil and reveal myself. I will manifest true reality to clearly demonstrate love as my very essence. I am revealing love's power to change reality. It is only true love and love that is true that will change, transform, and renew the minds of those trapped beneath the religious veils of deception that have misrepresented me as a distant, angry deity and needing appeasement. The old covenant is man's covenant with me through the knowledge of the DIY tree of religion that has created many gods in their own image. The God who needs appeasing through sacrifice and offerings is the God of their own imagination. We created that God to appease our DIY version of justice. I have traveled all roads to find those of my children who have been lost, but they were not roads of my making. See, we've created paths to walk down, thinking those paths take us to God. And majority of those paths take you nowhere. But God will travel on those paths, even though he didn't create those paths in the first place, to bring us and restore us back into the correct path of the tree of life. Religion has obscured relationship by making it conditional on performance and works, when it's always been about love and grace. Son, legislate for the restoration of all things conference, for true love to be revealed, and for love bombs and heavenly lightning bolts to explode and penetrate any veils of darkness and deception. Now, I did that for the conference, but I'm doing that for the Joshua generation. I'm doing that into the world because I want everyone to know that God's desire through his love is to bring them out of darkness into light. So I make these declarations, and I'll make those declarations now for you. And I want to encourage you to receive those declarations. Embrace those declarations as I make them. Let the sound and the frequency come around you. Let it engage you. I call for love's light to shine brightly. I call for love's light to reveal true reality. I call for love's light to expose man-made religious doctrines and theology. I call for the protection of the environment around your life to allow openness and honesty. I call for the freedom portal to be open and for sentinel angels to guard and protect. Now, I believe that there are angelic portals open around your life that you need to protect and guard, but they're for you. Let that revelation come. Engage them. Engage the angelic realm. I call for a heavenly manifestation of love's power to deconstruct and renew minds and change hearts. I call for heavenly encounters, dreams, visions, to create cognitive dissonance that will produce transformation. I call for the cloud of witnesses to engage with true love's testimonies. I call for the protection of those who are bringing the restoration message and the full liberty to open their hearts and minds. I call for respect and honor to fill the atmosphere with loving kindness, tolerance, and patience. I call for the favor and blessing of our loving Father to be abundantly flowing with love, joy, peace, grace, and mercy. I release this legislation out into the atmosphere, out into the wilderness, to change and challenge. I let the herald of this call, heralding a call for a new day, a new season, fresh revelation, cognitive dissonant encounters that will change and transform lives, renewing minds, restoring sonship, causing people to come out of the darkness of religion, coming into the depth of relationship. So I release this sound. I release this frequency, the frequency of restoration. Son, relax and trust in me and do not take responsibly for that which is not yours to carry. Remember, come to me, find rest, because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Sometimes when we get involved in doing something which has some significance to it, we can get weighed down with it. Make sure that you're yoked to him, only doing what you see the Father doing, only saying what you hear the Father saying. Then his yoke's easy, his burden's light. Don't take it on and try and do it in your own strength. Never works. Find rest for your soul as you know me and discover your identity. Father, thank you that you're 100% trustworthy and reliable. I choose to put my trust in you and rest in your provision, protection, and direction. This is seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. I thank you for the joyful opportunities for today and this week. Now, I do this every day. I want to have an attitude of gratitude, a heart of love, a heart of joy. So I express gratitude. I thank him. I look at my life and thank him for all of the wondrous things that there are. So I'm looking to come from that place of love, joy, and peace on a daily basis. I choose to live in peace. I forgive and release those in your family who have created disorder, and I choose to bless them. I call for the favor and blessing of the Father to create the atmosphere for transformation. Son, you can deal with Destiny Robber. Now you've the testimony that can restore him to his position and he can fulfill his destiny. So I've sort of followed this journey along through the year of having this dragon spiritual entity called Destiny Robber, who was effectively trying to hinder our mandate, which is to help people find and fulfill their destiny. And therefore, you know, I've seen it, saw it, and wanted to deal with it, but God didn't allow me to deal with it. No one could deal with it here. And now God was saying, yes, you can, because you now have a testimony. Because I have a testimony, because I heard a testimony that someone else shared. That caused me to take that testimony, resonate with the testimony, engage God with that testimony, and ask him for revelation of that testimony to see whether that testimony is something that can apply to me. So I talked to somebody who shared their testimony of dealing with a fallen angel. And I had no experience of that before I had talked to this person. And having talked to this person, that caused me to then go back to God and say, is this testimony the testimony that you have given? Is this the truth? Is this something that I can take as a testimony? And therefore, can I do something about this myself? That's what I encourage you to do with everything. You hear someone's testimony, don't just accept it. If you resonate with it, or even if you're questioning it, take it back to God. I took this person's testimony back to God, and I meditated around that, and I asked questions because I wanted to know the truth. I wasn't just going to take that testimony, because this testimony is hugely controversial. Even before I spoke to this person, I was aware that this issue, whether fallen angels can be restored. Now, don't hear demons and redeemed when I say that. Fallen angels restored to their position that God created them to have. That's what I'm talking about. Is that possible? Now, I'd come to the point where if restoration of all things is all things, then it must be possible. But I had no testimony to be able to say whether it was possible or not. I just thought it could be because all means all. But I had no testimony. Now I'd heard a testimony. I now had something to go back to God with. So I took it back to God. And this is what he said to me. Son, you can deal with Destiny Robber. Now you have the testimony that can restore him to his position and can fulfill his destiny. Because God made angels to operate within the kingdom and operate within man's sonship. They're ministering spirits for those who are heirs of salvation. So now, even though God said this, I didn't immediately do it. I must admit, I waited and I sought him for the right time to do it. If you choose to do this, then this position of power, influence will increase and to operate within both your local and wider spheres. So, if I was to restore Destiny Robber, then it would restore him to a position of power and influence, which would not just be for me and us locally, but had wider connotations. Son, there are two others that you will need to be restored. So there are two others that formed a bench of three that God was showing me will need to be restored. So he was preparing me for what was potentially I could do and what was coming. Now, I was still reticent and I was still holding back at this point. The principality that has oppressed your region to keep it from its redemptive purpose, and the ruler that's controlled the local government to be cautious and fearful in its purpose. Those were two more things that I could engage with. These three will form a powerful bench of three over the atmosphere to cooperate with your blueprint. Son, your main mission is to help people find and fulfill their destinies. Focus on that and rule over the environment to create an atmosphere of love and light to draw people. I will show you how, and I will empower you in this quest. Once this is fulfilled, you can hand over the authority to others. So when we have government here established in that way, then my role is finished, if you like, within it. Restoration of destiny is for all things within all dimensions and all realms of the created order, and we are co-heirs of this intention. And this is what God was really showing me. We have a part to play in this. Sun, come closer and focus on my heart of love, revealed within the circle of the dance, and you will find fresh motivation and desire. Heart to heart, within my heart, become one heart of love with us, not just one spirit. I want my children to know, truly know, the light of love that exists only within the beating heart of Father, Son, and Spirit. Abide in me as I desire to abide in you, and let me restore your true destiny, and you will be empowered by love's light to arise and shine. Now, the reason I didn't engage Destiny, Robert, and those other fallen angels at that moment was I didn't have enough of love's light and the love to shine. That I needed deeper revelation and experiences of God's love that I could arise and shine with that love, and that love was what will bring restoration. And I don't think I had enough of it. It's like the idea of it I accepted and ascended to, but I didn't feel it. I didn't have enough passion, burning desire for the restoration of those things. And because of the controversy surrounding it, I was still reticent. Because I know once I have a testimony, it is going to come out. Whether I want it to or not, it will come out. People will ask questions. I will share it, even if I didn't want to. So I was reticent because I don't want to cause more controversy or to create problems with others. But God didn't let it go. Son, can you feel it? Can you hear it? It is the rhythm and cadence of the Merkaba, the chariot, the connection, the convergence between Father and Sons, heavens and earth, physical and spiritual, time and eternity. So I began to engage the portals that open up the connection between the different dimensions, and I began to engage it and activate the energy that that brings. Now, within us, we have spirit, soul, and body gateways. We also have gateways of energy that we're supposed to connect with the eternal realm or with the quantum realm, zero point energy, to manifest unlimited energy for us to function. And I do that by focusing and engaging my mind to activate those portals within. Some people call them chakras or other things. Don't be put off by the name. Just an energy system, just like we have a blood system and a lymph system and a nervous system. There's an energy system that flows. There are energy and there's meridians and there are gateways that open that energy and activate that energy and allow that energy to flow out. And the Merkaba is a connection to that. And, you know, you can see some of that when you look at the picture or the diagram of it. Sun, frequency is not something to just understand and harness, but to be released. When you vibrate with love, creation can resonate with the sons of God in the harmony of the music of the spheres. And this again was a preparation for dealing with fallen beings. The sevens are the completeness of the three and four of governmental relationship, converging with the nine and the 12 government perfection. The golden mean is my fingerprint within the fabric of creation. Now you'll find all these sacred geometric things out there. Don't just hook, line, and sinker take everything. You know, I believe there is truth hidden in lots of things. There is truth hidden with things that I don't even read because I'm looking to engage the truth. But some people get revelation from that truth. Be careful you don't believe everything just because there's some truth with hidden within some things which are not truthful. Now, be careful. I don't go into Jewish mystic writings or things like that because I think there's a danger for people to buy into a system that has some truth in it, because God reveals truth in all sorts of different ways in all sorts of different people. But don't buy into it. There's truth in quantum physics, but it doesn't mean I believe everything that quantum physicists say just because there's truth in quantum physics. Don't believe what every mystic says just because they are mystic. Take it to God yourself. Resonate with it and engage it and take it to God so that you can experience what it is. I believe we can find the way, the truth, and life in Jesus without having to go and engage in mystical things. But if God calls you to do it, that's fine. But be careful if you do. Sun engaged the threes and the fours, positional authority and functional authority, and established the sevens of heavenly completion over the sixes of the DIY tree path of earthly brokenness. Relationship and government in unity will release restoration. Sun, to restore a fallen one, you will need to focus your frequency and shine the light of love to penetrate the scales of darkness and deception that cover their minds. Now, because I was asking God, well, how do I do this? If I'm going to do it, can you show me how? Then this is what he said. So this is why love, frequency, energy, activating energy, the Merkaba, portals, sacred geometry, all come into play when you're going to focus light and focus love's light and arise and shine love's light, because there is darkness. Now, people are in darkness and deception. The enemy has blinded their minds, and so are fallen angels in darkness and deception because their minds have been covered. The scales of darkness and deception can be penetrated with love's light. This is what the Father was saying to me. I had not yet done it, but he was preparing me to do it. Only love's light with true desire radiating with the oracles of my heart can truly restore a fallen one. So I needed to engage the oracles of the Father's heart. This is why wisdom revealed the oracles of the Father's heart. That was part of my process to empower me to engage in a level of light and love before I had never experienced or known. The oracles of the Father's heart really totally transformed, and I engaged it and experienced it. When I engaged those in the cloud of witnesses, you know, John and the Samaritan woman and the Lazarus and the leper and, you know, the lady who anointed Jesus, I felt love. I felt what they felt, because they were all, in a sense, trapped into wrong mindsets and beliefs about themselves, and I felt what they felt. And I know that that changed how I experienced love and how I could express love. Do you have such passion and compassion to release the light of overwhelming love for their restoration? And I had probably had to say, I don't think I do. Son, that is why I asked wisdom to reveal the mystery of love's light to you, so you would be prepared for your destiny in restoration. Son, not many are ready or prepared to go to the next level of restoration, but you can be a forerunner for the Joshua generation in this area. Now, I'm aware how challenging that will be to some. I'm aware that some people will be totally offended by that, and that, you know, my sharing the testimony of subsequently what I was able to do has caused great offense. Now, I didn't do it to cause offense. I did it because God asked me to do it, and eventually I had a passion to see restoration in that area. You know, I don't want to be causing offense to anyone. People are entitled to believe whatever they want to believe. I'm not trying to challenge their beliefs. I'm just sharing what has happened to me. The choice is yours. If you choose to accept this quest, you will need to be prepared to give an account for the hope of restoration that's in you and shield your life and ministry from those who attack you personally. Now, I and others who have begun to follow this restoration of all things path are under attack, assassination of character, you know, being called heretics, being called of leading people astray, dangerous people, all of these things. Now, I understand that that's coming not from a nasty sense, but from a sense of people don't want people to be led astray. But I would suggest that all of us have had positions where we thought that in the past and which now we think differently. This is just another one of those. Don't be restricted and draw a hard, fast line that says this can never be, because you've put God in a box that has put you in a box, and now you're in a box and you're locked up and you're now outside of what God really intends you to have, because you're locked up. Don't try and be God. Allow God to be God. You don't have to police. No one has to police the kingdom. God is king within his kingdom. He rules. He reigns. He's fully aware of everything that's going on. He doesn't need us to police the body of Christ or the church or the Christian community, keeping them from error. And of course, you have so much of this going on. You only have to use Google to Google certain people's names and you will find that they are attacked. And then they are attacking those that are being attacked. It's like this is perpetuated, you know, and I find it so sad that so-called brothers and sisters, that we're all in Christ, that where Christ is in all, are attacking each other over beliefs rather than relating to one another and allowing God to deal with the beliefs. Because am I saying that everything I believe now is what I've always believed in the past? Of course not. If I go back 10 years and I look at my present self, I would have thought that I was a heretic. But God has taken me on a journey of progressively unveiling the reality of who he is to change and transform my thinking, so I realized that I was in bondage to those belief systems, doctrines, and theological positions because they framed my thinking. He had to deconstruct the 9 pillars in my mind so that I was able to see the light of truth. Be open for that deconstruction. Don't limit what God can do in you because he can't do something because you say he can't. He is able, but as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you're able to restrict God if you keep to your position and don't have your mind renewed. That is, I plead with you, allow God to restore your mind. So I know that going down this route has opened me up and others to attack. But I bless those who attack me. I honor you for what you've done, and who you are, and I'm not going to attack you back because my desire is to bless. God's desire is to bless, and I want to bless you. And anyone who, you know, hears people running other people down, being negative towards people, do not participate in it. Walk away from it. Challenge it if you want to challenge it, but don't participate in gossip. Don't participate in twisting the Leviathan. Don't trade on the wrong trading floor. Be very careful. Son, these are the next steps, and they're the beginning of the greater works, but there are many more to follow if you keep walking in the light as the light. So there's so much more to come, way beyond what we could imagine or think. Live loved, love living, live loving, and rest. That is my encouragement to you. That is what I would ask you to focus on in all the controversy around. Engage God and find his love, that he loves you. Live life from joy, living in a way that loves life, and live loving forgiveness, honoring, respecting, not making negative judgments, but blessing, and live in rest. As sons of God, if we're going to fulfill our mandate, we need to operate from rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And if you're feeling weary and heavy laden in any way, come to him and allow him to restore your soul. Come and lie down in green pastures beside still waters, in that place of reflection, so he can restore your soul, bring you back to that restored position of sonship, so you can fulfill, as part of the Joshua generation, restoration of all things.